Hi guys, welcome to episode 5 of Extra Pickles, Please. I'm Serena, your host. Today it is a solo episode because I am going to be talking about the 28 things I've learned by 28. I just had my birthday recently. I'm an Aries. I just celebrated my birthday this past Sunday, and throughout the last few weeks, I've been doing a lot of reflection on things that I've learned throughout my life. And that is including things I learned from early cognitive developmental years to adolescence to young adulthood and then now. So let's go ahead and just kick it off. Starting with the first thing, rest is productive. You don't have to earn your rest, rest is necessary. I have learned, this is actually something that I've learned more so recently. That when it comes to resting, it is so necessary to our brain, our body, our spirit. And nowadays, we hear the language and the verbiage usage of brain rotting or just rotting in general. And I have been trying to reframe rotting into resting, especially if I know that my body and my brain needs it. So, number one, rest is productive. Number two, we're not going to be surprised by this one, but pickles make everything better. For me, it actually makes things physically better for me. When it comes to nausea, stomach aches, period cravings, pickles just make everything better. Obviously, I am a big pickle fanatic, so I also should have added in here that Claussen pickles are top tier, number one choice, number one draft pick. Number three, boundaries are an act of love for yourself and for others. This was also something that I learned in the most recent years is that when you set boundaries on people, it doesn't mean you hate them. It doesn't mean that you don't like them. It doesn't mean that you are trying to cut ties with them. Sometimes it could, but most of the time, it is an act of love because you can't pour from an empty cup. I have been burned one too many times in friendships and relationships in general. So setting boundaries are an act of love to me because it goes to show that I trust the person enough to have to set the boundary on, if that makes sense. I think one of the biggest challenges with me for boundaries is I was always a people pleaser, always wanting to make everybody happy, always wanting to put everyone first. But then I think it was like when I was 25 and my prefrontal cortex just clicked. I then realized, like, boundaries are so necessary. And it is an act of love, but not everyone is going to see it that way. Number four, not everyone deserves access to you. That part. Let me say that again. Not everyone deserves access to you. I feel like, especially because I'm so active on social media, I grant a lot of access to people, whether it's strangers, people I don't talk to, people that don't like me. I grant so much access to them. But when it comes to like personal things or personal life matters, those are things that I like to keep sacred. I'm a fairly public person, but obviously I have my own things that I like to keep private. So I always make it a point to remember, and this is something in the list later on that like social media is just a snippet of somebody's life. When it comes to challenges and hardships and things that I go through, that's not something that I share oftentimes. But when it comes to granting access to me, granting people access to me, it's actually something that I try really hard not to do because I don't believe that everyone should be granted access. And I hope if you're listening to this, take my word advice again. Not everyone deserves access to you. Number five, healing isn't linear. So this was a hard one that I learned probably through college because when it comes to healing, there's going to be days where you feel great and there's going to be days where you don't feel great. You know what? No, this wasn't even college. I learned this very early on, before college. I learned this like in my like upperclassmen years of high school, when it came to healing from trauma, from past relationships, grief, like death and losing people, I realized that healing does not go in an upward scale. It ebbs and flows. That's all I can say. Healing ebbs and flows. And I think that even to this day, my own personal healing for things that I am currently working on healing from, there are days where I feel great and there are days where I am down pat. And that is okay. Number six, therapists need therapy too. That's it. Therapists need therapy too. And that's not, for me, especially going to therapy is not just to decompress and talk through all the things that my clients tell me, but more so process my own shit. Because therapists, at the end of the day, are humans too. We are humans that have shit going on. We have challenges, we have struggles, we have success, we have wins. But when it comes to the things that we have struggles with, we definitely need a sounding board, and we definitely need, that third party, that unbiased party to talk to us or to talk things through with. So I'm a big, 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 big believer in therapists need therapy too. And if you think differently, that's fine. That's valid. I'm gonna hold space for that. But I'm gonna let you know right now, therapists need therapists too. Number seven, this is something I learned in my, I would say, like my teenage, adolescent years. It is okay to have a small circle. You hear all the time, like quality over quantity. And growing up, I always dreamt of having big friend groups to go to the movies with, the mall with, the events with. And as I got older, my circle became smaller and smaller. And for at one point, I felt sad about it, but now I love it. I mean, I can't say that I have a small circle, but let's just say I have different small circles. Like, I don't have just one giant circle. I have multiple, like, little circles here and there. Excuse me. But I think that when it comes to having a small circle and keeping those you trust and you love and you care about very close, it is okay to have acquaintances and it's okay to have mutual friends. But when it comes to my circle, that is like, I don't know, that's like sacred to me. And I am by no means controlling or like, my best friend can't be friends with this person or my friend can't be friend with that friend. I just really enjoy like the intimacy that comes with small circles. So that's a lesson learned for me. Number eight, it is possible to fall out of love with someone. That is something I learned probably in my teenage years. Peak development, peak development. When you think that you love someone so much, and then as time goes on, you're like, I don't think I love this person. Now, it is possible to fall out of love with someone, but still have love for them, if that makes sense. So, like, when, thinking of myself, like, I was in like my most peak development formative years. And when you think that you're in love with someone, after some time, you realize like it's probably not so much you're in love with them, but more so you have love for them or you love them for who they are. I don't know how much better to explain it, but also like when you think that you're in love with someone in some of your most formative years, that could hold true. And yeah, you could be in love with that person and you could end up marrying that person. Or you could just be jaded by the feeling and the excitement of, experiencing love for the first time. But all in all, it is possible to fall out of love with someone. Number nine, this kind of goes with number five. Your younger self needs to heal as well. So when we think of ourselves and when we break ourselves down into different parts, our emotional part, our younger part, when we think about different parts, sometimes we tend to neglect our younger selves and what our younger selves needed. You know that saying where it's like, you hear something or you watch something and you're like, oh, that healed my inner child. That's kind of what I mean. So like the younger version of myself still grieves the loss of one of my good friends from high school. The younger part of myself also grieves a lot of relationships that I have. So it's not one of those things where I'm like, I'm healed. I feel good about it. It's more so like a part of me is still healing, but it's kind of like part of my subconscious where I'm not thinking about it every single day. But there are little things that I do for myself as, time goes on to just heal that part a little bit at a time. It's not on the top of my priorities of things that I need to heal, but I always have to remind myself that my younger self always like also still needs to heal. Number 10, this was a harsh one. This was something that I had to kind of like coach myself through, and this was something I recently had to accept. It's not always about you. And in that regards, like it's not always about me. Especially when it comes to overthinking. I have pretty bad anxiety when it comes to relationships with friends and others, and I tend to overthink everything. You could literally ask any of my friends. I overthink everything because I just want to please and I just want to make people happy. One of my biggest fears in life is, okay, that's so dramatic. Let me reel it back. One of the things that I hate, or when it comes to overthinking, one of the things that I fear is hurting someone's feelings or upsetting someone. But I've had to really work through that because sometimes I could overthink and think that I did something to cause somebody some level of pain when at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with me. And so part of that is radical acceptance, like accepting things for what it is and also realizing that it's not always about me. And sometimes I even have to ask myself, like, I have to give myself like hard truths. And I sometimes have to be like, what makes you so special to think or assume that the reason why this person or that person is acting this way or saying these things is because of something that you did. And that was kind of like another clicking moment for me when I turned like 25, 26, having to remind myself like, yo, it's not always about you, Pookie. Like, chill out. Number 11, always ask for clarification. There is no such thing as a stupid question. This was something that I learned early on in my career as a therapist. I was very timid and very fearful of asking questions because I entered my field thinking that I pretty much had to know everything. And that is very much not true. My last supervisor made me feel really comfortable and safe in regards to asking questions. So I was always told that, it is okay not to know the answer to something. And just because you don't have the answer doesn't mean that you're not going to get it. Same thing goes for like working with individuals. If like a client asks me a question and I have no idea what the answer is, being upfront and honest and be like, you know what, that's a really good question. I don't think I have an answer for you right now, but I am more than happy to find that answer for you or get the resources that you need. So in regards to always asking for clarification, anytime someone tries to explain something to me and I don't understand the first round, ask for clarification. Ask them, wait, what did you mean by this? This also goes for tough conversations. So if someone says something to you and you don't understand why they may feel that way, obviously they don't have any obligation to explain themselves. But if you truly feel like you need clarification to better understand the situation, it is okay to be like, hey, could you clarify that a little bit for me? Like, can you tell me more about how you're feeling, or why is this the way it is? Asking for clarification should never ever be a form of becoming defensive. So take that a note, but this is what I've learned, so take away what you will with that. Number 12, you may never get that closure. Radical acceptance is important. So as I said before, radical acceptance is when we take things for what it is and not necessarily forcing ourselves to accept it, but just accepting the fact that, like, I have no control over the situation. I would say in my lifetime, there are a lot of things that I feel like I don't have closure with. Some of those things, involve death and dying. Some of those things involve breakups and the end of relationships and friendships. And I had to come to terms that I may not get that closure, and that is okay. I cannot allow that to consume me and eat me alive and dictate the rest of my life. So therefore, I may never get that closure, and I'm just going to keep it pushing. Number 13, relationships take time. And that goes for platonic and romantic relationships. Relationships take so much time. I met my husband when I was 17, and I would say the first 5 to 6 years of our relationship, like I was crashing out. Like, not even low key. I was high key crashing out because I think the idea of what I had in my head of what a relationship looked like did not meet realistic expectations or just the reality of what a relationship was. I think social media really ruined that for me and modern day TV and movies. I truly feel like that kind of ruined it for me because I kind of had it in my head that, like, I am deserving of the princess treatment. I am deserving of, like, just the idea of, like, being deserving of something. I think back to that time and that younger part of myself, and I just kind of, like, cringe because the things that I feel like I deserve, my husband deserved too, but I wasn't thinking of him. And I'm not afraid to admit that because who I was during that time of my life is most definitely not who I am now. I mean, I'd be crashing out here and there, but like not how I used to. Just like the typical wifey crash outs, I guess. But I feel like I've really grown in my relationship with my husband. And I also feel like I've grown in my relationships with my friends. And that's long-term friends, that's newer, more recent friends. I feel like I've grown a lot in terms of like building relationships, and I'm very proud of that. 14, you are not responsible for how others react to your boundaries. Their reaction is not your burden to carry. I experienced this a lot growing up where I would try to be confrontational or I would try to like talk about how something someone did made me feel. And it was immediate lashback. It was immediate defensiveness. It was immediate gaslighting. And honestly, I took it. I was just like, I don't want to keep fighting. So, yes, I'll take blame for it. When really, I didn't have, I had no obligation or I had no place to take blame for something. Some things, yes. Like, there were things that I was not always the nicest person. I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite when people are like, oh my God, you're so kind. You're so nice. And like, I love that about you. And while that does hold a lot of truth to it, I can't help but think back to the younger version of me because I wasn't always the nicest. And I think a lot of like my meanness and my cattiness, if you will, really, really stemmed from my own insecurities and envying other people. So anytime someone would try to confront me, I started noticing I started becoming reactive, I started becoming defensive. And so like when it's vice versa, like I have to remind myself that if I feel like I can respectfully and calmly tell someone how they made me feel or how something feels, how they react or how they respond to me is not my burden to carry and that is not my job because quite honestly, I have no control over that. And I don't know if that makes me sound like a bitch or what, but I have to constantly remind myself that my feelings matter just as much. I am more than happy to hear the other person out. But if it gets to the point where, you know, it's my turn to speak up and it's just consistently defensiveness, it's not worth my time, nor is it my burden to carry. I think that's what caused me to fall out with a lot of people back in the day, because I was just really, it was really easy for me to just throw in the towel and be like, this isn't worth my time. I want to believe that I've grown since then, and I want to believe that I am able to handle relationships better in that sense, but I have to constantly remind myself that I'm not responsible for how others react to my boundaries, the things that I say, things that I bring up, anytime I'm being confrontational. I just have to remind myself that a lot. 15, I kind of talked about this earlier. Social media is only a snippet of someone's life. I think that I am very, very, very easily influenced, and I'm also very gullible, and I really buy into like, oh my gosh, this person seems like they had a perfect life, or this person seems so happy. I don't know what changed that for me, but I would say in the last 5 years at least, I have been very open-minded in regards to social media in the sense of like seeing something and being like, oh, I wish I could live that person's life. But then also realizing and reminding myself, like, okay, that's just a snippet of their life. It doesn't mean that it's always great. And by no means is this me like tearing them down or tearing down what I'm seeing. But sometimes I get into my own head and think like, oh, I wish I had that life, or I wish I was like this, or I wish I was like that. Not so much anymore, but definitely when I was younger, I would like be just so like, what's the word I'm looking for? Is enamored the right word? I don't think so. I was just always so like, I want that life, or I want to live that way. I mean, if you saw my Pinterest board from high school, it was literally like, it was cringy. It was very cringy. But now I'm very open-minded and I take things with a grain of salt and I don't look into things or read into things too much because, again, stop overthinking. It's not always about me. Number 16, confidence comes from actions, not waiting. Do the thing even when you're scared. Do it scared. I want to believe that I've always been a pretty confident person. But that is not always the case. Sometimes I definitely do have my insecurities and I do feel shy, or I do feel like I kind of like just kind of fit in into the background. But for the most part, I would definitely say I'm a pretty confidence person. Confident person. I think that my confidence stems from reminding myself that like I'm my own person and no one can control that. And I think that my confidence has really taken me far, and it's taken me to new heights, I guess. But I want to also point out that like even though I present as a confident person and I am pretty confident like 85% of the time, there are also times where I don't feel confident and I feel insecure. I've really worked on not projecting my own insecurities on other people because I think that's something I struggled with in high school. But at the end of the day, I'm me. Nobody can change that. I'm so distracted right now because there is like a thousand-legged crawler thing on the floor, and I'm trying so fucking hard not to freak out right now, but I think it's far enough away from me that like I'm not gonna freak out. But I seen it at the corner of my eye and I like almost shit my pants, but I think we're okay. I'm actually proud of myself for keeping my composure because that's something I would have screamed at. Anyways, 17. People's opinions don't pay your bills. Let me read that one again. People's opinions don't pay your bills. So why let them dictate your life? Now, granted, it is a lot easier said than done, that statement. Why do you let people get to you? Why do you let people's opinions, upset you? And I am only human at the end of the day, and there are times where people's opinions or things that they say about me really get to me. But at the end of the day, like, the capacity I have in my brain is occupied by so much other things. It is not, sometimes it is just not worth having that person take up that space. I also like to think of it in the sense of like, the more I allow someone to occupy space in my head that I don't want them to, the more I allow them to bother me, and the more I allow them to like dim my light, I'm giving them more power. Now, why the hell do I want to do that? Why the hell do I want to give someone more power that does not deserve it or need it, especially for me? I only have so much to give, and that is very much not something I am willing to give up, my power. So that is something that I continuously work on, and I think I've done really good at. I am not shy. I am not afraid to be my own person, or do my own thing, or wear what I want, or whatever. So I feel like I take a lot of pride in that. But again, I'm gonna remind y'all, people's opinions don't pay your bills, so why let them dictate your life? Number 18, your gut instinct is usually right. Trust yourself more. This is something that I'm still working on because I feel like I'm so wishy-washy, like I trust my gut, but then I'm like, well, what if it's like, like I am very up and down with myself. Sometimes I even battle myself in my head. And I feel like for me, I have to trust my gut more. I think something that has helped me with that is when I took my clinical exam, everybody that I would study with or talk to that took that damn exam was like, just trust your gut, just trust your gut. And for some time, I was like, I don't think I know how. I do not think I know how to trust my gut, and I do not think that I am good at it. But after I passed that exam, I just remember like every question I went through, trust your gut, trust your gut, trust whatever your gut and your brain is telling you. And I passed. So always trust your gut. Number 19, grieving old versions of yourself is so normal. And this goes for physically, emotionally, mentally. I tend to grieve my high school self because that person was so carefree and so just, I don't know, like high school was a good time for me. I mean, a lot of people may have opposite experiences, but high school was such a good time for me, and I feel like I grieve that version of myself a lot. But also then I compare it to who I am now, and there's really not much difference. I think it's just more so like I didn't have that much responsibilities. I just had fun with my friends. But quite honestly, the friends that I had in high school, the majority of them, I couldn't tell you what the hell they're doing now. I don't talk to them. I don't see them. Some of them I fell out with. Some of them I lost contact with. But after high school, I was just like, I need a fresh start. But I will say I still grieve that part of my life because I missed what that felt like, I guess. But yeah. Number 20, laughter is medicine. I mean, that is something that I probably see on like some kind of wooden painting at Hobby Lobby. Laughter is medicine, but I mean, it's honestly kind of true because if you know me, you know I love to laugh. You know I am a jokester. You know that I love to make people laugh as well. And I feel like laughter really just like helps me feel whole and fulfilled. I really don't know how to explain it in this sense, but laughter to me is something that I feel is so valuable in human connections. If you can't laugh with me, then I don't think we're going to be a great fit. But so far, everybody's been able to laugh with me, so I am proud of that. Number 21, speak up it. Number 21, speak up if it bothers you. This is something I still am working towards, but I'm doing a lot better at. I am someone that has always internalized their entire life. I always kept things inside. I never liked speaking up when something was bothering me. I think that when it comes to confrontation and confronting people, that is really hard for me to do. But again, I think I've gotten better at it. Because I think that when it comes to being spoken to a certain way, injustice, people being mean or trying to bully me or put me in a corner, that's a big fuck that. We're not gonna do that. No. I also say that while making it seem like, I'm this tough person. But confrontation can be really hard, especially when it's with someone that you really love and care about. I'm gonna say that again. Confrontation can be very hard when it comes to someone that you truly love and care about because you just don't know how they're gonna react. But kind of going back to what I said earlier, how they react is not my burden to carry. I am more than happy to sit here and listen and hear you out and process things with you. But if you are going to scrutinize me or put me in a corner or try to bully your way out of it, we're not gonna do that. 22, some friendships can expire. We hear lifelong friendships, best friends forever, best friends for life. And I can tell you right now who I considered my BFFL or my best friend forever back in the day. Again, couldn't tell you what the hell she doing. Friends come and go. I think looking at my last episode, I think everyone knows who my best friend is, like my true, true best friend, truly, genuinely, whatever. Everyone knows who that person is. But I think that, like, at one point, I did think that our relationship and our friendship was truly over and it had expired. But I, not I, we brought it back to life and we are all good now. But I would say overall, like, friends come and go. The people that you are friends with in high school, you may not even talk to again in 10, 15 years. If you do, that's great. More props to you for keeping up long-term relationships and long-term friendships because that's really important. But sometimes who you feel like is your friend in a younger state, like in a earlier stage of your life, may not be your friend a decade later. And that is okay. That's completely fine. That's normal. Number 23, I learned this during the pandemic. Well, you know what? No, I didn't learn this. I knew this, but the pandemic really emphasized it. Racism is a public health crisis. Ask me about what happened at my wedding. That'll be for a different episode. But if you're ever curious, feel free to ask me. That's all I'm gonna say. I have had the honor and the pleasure to speak at the Ohio State House as to why racism is a public health crisis. And obviously they didn't pass the bill because I was literally talking to a room full of Republican old white men. And obviously some of them were on their tablets, some of them were on their phones. Nobody wanted to listen. And as much as it hurt to know that, like, I was talking to just a majority, like a room majority filled. Am I okay? Because I was talking to a room filled with mostly white men and white men that didn't care about anything I had to say, you would think that I would, like, feel hurt and feel upset. And yeah, I did feel a little bit of that, but I honestly felt empowered because I still got up there. Let me go back to number 16. Do the thing scared. I was scared shitless because I knew, I was like, I don't think they're going to listen to me. I don't think they're going to do anything about this. But I did the damn thing. And racism is real. And if you don't believe that, literally shut this podcast off right now. 24, hard conversations are necessary. Avoiding them only makes things worse. It does not mean that I hate you. If I want to have a hard conversation with you, it does not mean that I want to end our relationship. I may want to take a step back or take a break, but when it comes to hard conversations, they're very much necessary because I feel like they're an ample part of growth in relationships, especially friendships. I've had hard conversations with a good friend of mine, and it led to us taking a break from each other for a couple of months. And this honestly happened like a year ago. I still get a little emotional thinking about it because I just remember the type of hurt I felt. And it wasn't, it was a very different kind of hurt. It was a very, I don't know how to explain it. It was just very real. Like it's so hard to explain, but without going into too much detail, my mouth gets me in trouble sometimes. I get super impulsive and super excited about things, and I tend to jump the gun a lot, and it sometimes gets me in trouble, and that's kind of what led to us, like, kind of taking a break from one another. But me and her are so back, and I hope to have her on my show one day, because she is literally, like, I've literally been friends with her since middle school. But when it comes to having a hard conversation, I appreciate when someone wants to have a hard conversation with me, because I don't look at it as, like, I'm a bad person, I did something wrong. And sometimes I might feel that way, but for the most part, that person cares enough about me to have those hard conversations. And whether it's to prevent us from completely stopping being friends or completely breaking up, like, I think hard conversations are very important. Same thing goes the other way around. Like, if I want to have a hard conversation with you, it's not because I want to end our friendship. I don't want to, you know, stop everything that's happening, but more so, like, getting to the root of the problem and figuring out what our next steps are, if that makes sense. Almost to the end, guys. Bear with me. 25, wash your damn face. While I'm at it, let me add in, wash your damn ass. I struggled with acne pretty badly in middle school, high school, and I'm gonna be honest, I didn't really wash my face as much. I mean, I did, like, you know, splash water and then wipe it with a towel, but recently I've been getting into skincare a lot, and I've been moisturizing, I've been putting vitamin C serums on. Also, wear your sunblock. Make sure to wear that sunblock, because even if the sun's not out, baby, UV rays still exist. So wear sunblock. That's also going to be part of 25. Wash your damn face, wash your damn ass, and use sunblock. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 26, your feelings are valid, but they aren't always factual. So how you feel is how you feel. But after you are done emoting and after you are done feeling, I want you to also think to yourself, is this factual? Do I have evidence as to why what I'm feeling or what what I'm thinking or saying is true. You are allowed to feel. There is no competition there. You are allowed to feel. But also, if you are noticing that you're assuming or you're jumping to conclusions, you don't know exactly what the facts are, check yourself before you wreck yourself. 27, almost there. I promise. 27, you're still learning and evolving. Yeah. I literally learn things every single day. I learned how to pronounce filial piety today, and I felt like I was evolving into a Pokemon when I learned about that. Every single day is a new opportunity to learn something. There is no age, no time of your life, no time frame of when you need to know everything. And I'm gonna be so honest. There's nothing more that gives me the ick than someone that's a know-it-all or tries to be a know-it-all. Like anytime I say something and they try to oomph the statement that just came out of my mouth. Girl, let's just go with the statement and just let it roll. Just let it roll, let it ride out, whatever. Now, there's a difference. If you're correcting me, please do, because me with vocabulary and words, sometimes I mispronounce things. English was my second language. Leave me alone. But I don't have to know everything. And if you know everything, great for you, but don't project that onto me, because there have been times where I've allowed people to make me feel dumb and make me feel stupid. And that is also something I'm continuously working on, is not allowing those people to have access to me or make me feel that way. Because again, that would be me giving them more power. Last but not least, we are here, we are here, we are here. The final lesson that I can think of, and I feel like I literally thought about this on my 28th birthday, is you still have the rest of your life to figure it out. And that is such a vague statement, but it goes for a lot of different things. I feel like I talk to a lot of people who are my age, younger, older, that don't know what to do in their relationships, in their life, in their careers. And my response to that is, you have the rest of your life to figure it out. It is okay. That is very type B of me, because I know if I were type A, I would want to know everything and anything and, figure it out right then and there. But I would like to consider myself as like a laid back individual, more so a type B person. I'm in no rush. But I have had to check myself, and I have had to sit down and have conversations with myself of, hey, we don't have to figure this out right now. We have the rest of our lives. It could be something as simple as like my MacBook didn't turn on a couple weeks ago, and I immediately, like, I almost impulsively like went to Best Buy to buy a new one. But then I was like, you know what? No, I have the rest of my life to figure out how to turn this MacBook on, or figure out in a very smart financial way how to attain a new one. This is something that I continue to live by. And I feel like that's made my life a whole lot better, because I will say that you know what? I take that back. I will say that I am a pretty impulsive person, but I think that when I allow myself to just slow down a bit, it actually is so uncomfortable, but it allows me to exist in that discomfort. So that way, like, I don't make an impulsive decision, or I make a mistake, or whatever the case may be. So if you're listening to this and you feel like you're struggling with a sense of direction, your career path, your relationships, where you are in life, I want to remind you that you have time to figure it out. You don't have to figure it out right now, and it is okay if you don't have it figured out right now. I think for me, I am truly blessed and grateful to have the opportunity to figure things out for myself because of my interests and what I enjoy. But that's not the case for everyone, and I know that, and I actually like love talking to clients about this too, because it's really fulfilling to see that like sigh of relief, or a little bit of that alleviation of stress of like, yeah, you're right. I don't have to have that figured out right now. But then there's also that other part where it's like, yeah, you're right.
I don't have to have that figured out right now, but I should. And that is just, it depends on the person, but I think overall, these are the 28 lessons that I have learned in my 28 years of living. We are on to year 29, and I'm really excited to see what this new year holds for me. I am manifesting and suspecting a lot of growth and a lot of change. And more money, please. In this economy. Oh, God, I need to make, not even make, but I just need to hit the lottery one day. I did win $20 on my birthday, though, so we up, baby, we up. Other than that, I think that is the end of this episode. We were going to keep this one light. We were going to keep it airy. But in the upcoming episodes, I hope to have some more special guests since a lot of you seem to really enjoy when I have guests on the show. But I also want to just take a moment to say thank you to everyone that has been tuning in, listening, watching. It means a lot to me because I've always been told that I was a talker. And even though I was a talker, a lot of my life, I felt like no one really was listening. So to know that people are listening to my podcast and are giving me feedback and are telling me, how they're liking it and how they relate to it, it makes me feel really, really good. So I appreciate all of my viewers, followers, whatever it's called when it comes to a podcast. I saw something online where it was like, don't be upset if you only got like 50 likes and 3 comments, because imagine being in a room full of 50 people just complimenting you. And that's literally how I feel about this podcast. This podcast is literally my baby. Like, I know I'm only 5 episodes deep, but this is literally my baby. And I still have like that spark of like wanting to like create more. So yeah, just thank you. Thank you for being here and thank you for tuning in. I will catch you again in our next episode. And I hope you all have a wonderful day. Love you. Bye.